You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
All right, you guys ready to go? 1 Kings chapter 19. To review from last week, we had talked about how Elijah was up on Mount Carmel, which is way up north in Israel. Do you remember he had talked about it's time to find out if you're for God or against God, that kind of a thing? There's 450 Baal prophets, false prophets. And so I got them together and said, look, let's do a sacrifice. Let's take a bull. You guys go first. Sacrifice the bull on the altar. Call on your God. Have him come down and bring fire and all that and take care of the bull. And if that happens, we'll follow you. Or if I'm able to get Lord God Jehovah to fire up my bull, then we will go with God. You guys remember this story? Does it sound familiar? Yes. And so what happens? God delivers. And then Elijah said, let's put to death all 450 of these bad guys. Let's clean house and let's start in a whole new direction. Well, that whole new direction just lasted a few hours. Because the next morning, Jezebel, the queen, gets mad. And she comes to Elijah and says, you better run for your life because I'm coming after you. And what you did to all these Baal prophets, I'm going to do to you. So on the height, on the very glorious mountaintop, and we guys have all had mountaintop experiences, right? He runs for his life. Now he runs all the way from the northern part of Israel, all the way down through his hometown near Jerusalem, all the way down to Beersheba. Now Beersheba is the lowest point just about on the map. It's all the way in the southern part of Judah. And he's down there. He's kind of comfortable there because he knows a lot of folks. His hometown's not too far away. This is where he kind of spent a lot of time growing up. He's pretty comfortable. And God says, leave everything you have and take one more day's journey. Come into the desert. And so he does. By the way, it's kind of neat how when you're down and out, God really kind of says, are you really down and out? I don't even want you to be comfortable. I want you to be so uncomfortable that there's no place to turn but me. Now, one of the principles in Scripture is to get exhausted quickly. Now, I know I've said that before. And what I mean by is this. Not physically exhausted necessarily, though sometimes that happens, but spiritually exhausted to where you say, I will trust God now. I'll trust God now. It seems so often when we have difficulties and problems arise, we're all trying to figure out how to handle it ourselves. And God says, come to me quickly. Get exhausted of your problem quickly. Come to me and lay it down. Y'all with me? Y'all with me?
Yes.
So, he goes another day into the desert. And there in the desert, he finds a broom tree and he says, okay, I'm done. I'm tired. I don't even have my servant anymore. I've got nothing to. I'm tired. I'm running for my life. He finds this broom tree and he lays under it. You guys ever see a broom tree? It kind of looks like a mop tree, but it's a little drier. It's in the Scripture. So, he says, I'm tired. I'm ready. Take me. It's done. And I'm ready to die. And so the angel comes to him and says, man, you're hungry? You're tired? Look, right here. There's a nice cake that's already made, a jug of cool water. Drink and eat, and then go to sleep. So he sleeps for a while. Then the angel touches him again, and he says, hey, you need to eat or drink, or the journey is going to be too much for you. And then it says he ate and drank a second time, and on the strength, on the nutrients, on that bread and water, that second meal, He was able to travel for 40 days and 40 nights. A couple of questions here, if you guys remember. In chapter 19, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. Ahab told Jezebel everything about Elijah. She sent a messenger saying, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to hunt you down. Verse 3, Elijah became afraid, ran for his life. Verse 4, he went a day's journey into the wilderness. Verse 5, he lay down and slept under the broom tree. If you remember last week, we had said something about his pain was so real, he was ready to die. Have you ever experienced pain like that? Some of us have. Oh, enough. I'm ready. His pain was, he left this Mount Carmel experience where God showed up, where God did miraculous things, and then his life is threatened. And instead of turning to God, he turned to himself. And he said, now how do I get out of here? Where do I run? And he runs through the nation of Israel, gets back to where he's comfortable. And a lot of times when God's trying to deal with us, we like to get back to what was comfortable. Y'all with me? Have you ever been on the beach during vacation and you have that wonderful walk with God for 3 or 4 days? And you read the scriptures and man, it comes alive. Have you ever been on the mountaintop? And you smell the pines and it's just wonderful because you're on vacation. You have nothing to do. So you get your word out and you read and it's just a great communion with God, right? How come we don't have that same walk with God when we get back home to Tucson? Well, there's all sorts of things happening, right? And we try to get back to what's comfortable. We try to recreate, ooh, let me have that wonderful time up on the mountainside here. And what God is saying is, just come to me now. In the midst of your struggle. It's neat. He went to a place that he knew people. He went to a place that was familiar. He went to where he thought, I've made myself safe. I know the people around here. And God said, one more day's journey. Leave everything behind. His pain was, I want to go back. I want to do what we've done before. We've never done it this way before. Let me head back. And here's the walk with God. You guys ready? The plan. Elijah's pain, let's get back. God's plan is, I'm with you. Let's keep going. Follow me. Trust me. We're not going to go back. Let's go forward. Remember I said something about having a Norman Rockwell moment and that beautiful wood split. What am I thinking of? The white picket fence. Good job. And the white picket fence. Oh, and we love those old pictures. Oh, and the old Victorian houses and all that. How many Victorian houses do you see in Tucson? Quite a bit. And the white picket fence. Oh, and I love the white picket fence. Even if you wanted to keep the white picket fence, you've got to change it to keep it. You have to clean it, you have to paint it, you have to realign it, you have to fix it, you have to change it. Oh, pastor, if we could go back to the church we used to have. We can't go back. We got to repair ourselves. We have to repent, get right, and move forward. Y'all with me? God's not about, man, do you remember when we did this 20 years ago? He is about, what are we going to do tomorrow? Trust me. So our pain is sometimes, man, I wish we could go back. But God's plan is always, go another day in the desert. Why? Because you run out in the desert. And I just start there. Leave everything you have back behind and go on. So that's the question, what are you doing now? And what's he doing now? He's running for his life. The next question was, what are you doing new? Look at verse 5 through 9. Suddenly an angel touched him, said, get up and eat. So he looked, and there at his head was a loaf of bread baked over hot stones and a jug of water. Verse 7, the angel came a second time and said, get up and eat. Your journey will be too far for you, or too much for you. So he got up and ate, and on the strength of that food, walked 40 days and nights. Here's the pain of this question. And this is the question. What are you doing new? What are you doing new? Elijah gets there and says, oh, I am so hungry, and I'm out in the middle of the desert. What do I do? And God says, I will take care of you, as I always have. You're hungry. You're thirsty. You feel like you're not safe. I told you to leave everything behind. Now you're out here. It's my responsibility now to take care of your needs. Here, drink, eat, rest. Y'all get this the first time? God takes care of our physical needs. But the second time, he says, I have something new for you. I have something new for you, and you need to eat a second time. Do you understand what's new about this? Lord, I've already eaten. I don't need to eat again. No, no, no. This food, you have to do it, or the journey will be too much for you. This is a whole new ball game. Now, oftentimes we look at God and we say, will you feed me what I need? Yeah, I'll feed you what you need. And then when he says, now I've got something else for you. No, 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 just give me what I need. It's okay. I don't want to really step out too much. Just give me what I need. And God is pulling us to do this new thing. Trust me. Trust me. Eat a second time. I love Elijah. He's down and out, doesn't know what to do. He doesn't have any friends around him. He is alone in the desert, and God takes care of him. Thank you very much, Lord. Now you need to eat again. I just ate. Eat again. Why? Because now there's something new on the horizon. So you didn't even think of. You were thinking we just feed you for the next 20 years. No, we have something amazing for you. You've got to eat, for the journey is going to be too much for you. Here's the pain of what's doing new. You guys ready for this? Elijah saw that the pain of that question, doing something new, it's going to cause difficulties. It's going to cause difficulties. We just took our 450 Baal prophets. The Lord has been shown to be the God of Israel. And I, the great Elijah, I'm the senior pastor, and I'm running for my life. I'm tempted to go back to the mountain. I'm tempted to go back to Mount Carmel and say, don't you remember what I did? I'm sorry. What God did? Let me repeat that. Don't you remember what I did? What God did up on Mount Carmel? Sometimes we ask God, will you feed me so that I can do your work? And God comes back and says, I will feed you my own food because I've got a special spiritual journey for you. It's new, it's fresh, it's exciting, but there's difficulties. The second thing, the plan of God, trust me for the journey ahead. Trust me for the journey ahead. Who was it that said all the great journeys start with the first step, something like that? It's not Jesus. It's not in the scripture, so you don't have to look for that. What would have happened if Elijah didn't do anything for the second food? I ate the first food, and then I'm sleeping, and I'm pretty good. God wakes me up and says, hey, you need to eat some more. Well, no, I'm pretty satisfied. No, 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 this is special food. You need to eat. No, no, I'm cool. I've got a plan. Now that I feel better, Lord, if you'll just follow me and do my plan, how far is he going to make it? 100 yards? Half a day? What? How long is he going to make it on his own food? You guys understand we're not just talking about cakes and water, right? We have to look at the difficulties, people, the difficulties ahead, and say, Lord, feed me what you want to feed me. Even when I'm full of one particular thing, This week, man, we had another breakdown in the moving company, and we won't get into it. Becca looked at me and said, "Man, I'm tired." I said, "I know, honey, but you're a trooper." And she said, "I'm tired of trooping." I said, "I understand. I understand." In our own strength, there are things that we can do when we combat things. There are things that we can do in our own strength to make things right or to feel better about ourselves. But nothing will last. Amen? It's when God says, "Trust me, eat this new stuff." By the way, where's the new stuff found? Right here. Right here. If you're not spending time with Him Monday through Saturday, engaging with Him in your personal relation, your personal walk, how's He going to tell you, "I've got more stuff for you to do"? Eat. Think all the way into the New Testament. When Jesus gave this wonderful story of the talents, the manager gave the talents to these guys. Some He gave to five, and some four, some one. They gave these talents out. When the master came back and saw what they had done, two of them had doubled their money, and one had kept it the same, had actually hid it. Do you remember what the reward was? "Oh, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the presence of your master, and now more will be given to you." I don't know how you look at that. I mean, I like the first part. Oh, enter into the joy, into the presence, into the company of your master. That's pretty neat stuff. "And I've got more things for you." By the way, the two guys that doubled their money didn't look at that and say, "More responsibility? I got to do more work? Hold it, hold it." No, they had eaten the new food. They had eaten the new stuff. Guys, as we make this transition from one pastor to a new pastor, from one vision to a new vision, from one direction to new direction, never ever think we can do this on our own. We've got what it takes. But the Spirit will lead us. The Spirit will give us the food to do something incredible that no one else could do. Y'all with me? The moment we start looking back and say, "Let's recapture the good old days," oh, we're going to be in trouble. This is a whole new thing. God's plan, trust me, and they'll be comforted. All right, guys, ready to go? The sermon starts now. The third question He asks, "What are you doing here?" All right, you guys following with the questions? The first question is, "What are you doing now? What are you doing new?" Now God asks, "What are you doing here?" Look at verse 9 through 14. "Then the word of the Lord came to him, and He said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He replied, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, tore down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are looking for me to take my life.'" I say that kind of a phrase all the time. Do you? By the way, the way I say it is, "Lord, I'm the only one. Everyone doesn't like me, and I'm trying to do the right thing." Are you guys like that? Yeah, you are. "How come the other guy got the promotion? Why don't the grandkids write anymore?" Come on, come on. I'm not going to ask for any. Have you ever asked? "I alone." And the answer's in there. "We've killed the prophets." It's in there. "And I alone. I'm the last one. I'm the only one." What's he begging for God? "Look at my righteousness. I'm the last guy standing, Lord. How could you do this to me? I'm the last guy." He's ready to die. Remember, he's under that broom tree. He replied. Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the Lord's presence." Verse 11. At that moment, the Lord passed by. Guys, I want everyone to close your eyes. I'll read the scripture. Just close your eyes. At that moment, the Lord passed by. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and was shattering cliffs before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a great fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. Everyone look up. Have you ever experienced God in a huge fire, earthquake, momentous movement? Have you ever experienced Him where you had no idea what to do and you're running in the valley of darkness and all of a sudden here comes salvation? I don't know what it is. Maybe you've broken down in the middle of the night and don't know what to do and God sends an angel there to help you and take you out. Maybe you've had problems, financial stress, whatever it is. You don't know what the world is, and all of a sudden, it opens up like an earthquake, like a fire. It's amazing, isn't it? Do you know why God wanted to show Elijah these great earthquakes, fires, all this movement, the wind? That's how He's dealt with Elijah before. On Mount Carmel, just before this, God came and took the bull, the fire, the earth shook, the wind. God showed Himself mighty in a particular way. Sometimes when I preach, I go like this because I get so excited. I feel like it's halftime and I got the football team in front of me. Woo! Have you ever experienced God like that? And God wanted Elijah to know, I don't have to work like that all the time. A lot of times when we see God at work, we think, okay, I know how God works. It's like this, boom! It's going to be a magical, mystical, crazy thing. And then we're stuck there waiting for Him to work. Then we start doubting Him because it's not working. Do you know where God is? He's in a whisper. Whisper. Does He work like a fire? Of course He does. Does He work in the soft whisper? Absolutely. Are you guys hanging with me today?
Yes.
I won't get too far weird, so don't fire me yet. He works in a bunny rabbit. You guys ready for that? Yeah. Have you ever taken a walk and seen a bunny and gone, God made that bunny in a cool, gentle breeze, in a stranger's comment. Who knows? God can work in anything, any way. I have a feeling Elijah was saying, Lord, I know how You work. Whew. You come in and smash the bad guys. I'm waiting for You. Come do it. And Elijah's not looking for God. He is looking for God to act the way He wants Him to. I know how You should do this, Lord. Come on. Boom. Come blow this thing away. And God shows Himself, and He's not in any one of those. And then comes the soft whisper. Oh, I love it. Verse 13. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He asked it twice. What are you doing here, Elijah? I'm the only guy. Let me show you how I work. You're not in charge. I am. He asked him a second time. And Elijah
replies a second time, just like he did before. I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, he replied, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they're looking to take away my life. It's sad, but it's true. It's true because it's happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to you. On our greatest days with the Lord, the next day, we don't know what in the world to do. We're ready to die. We're ready to hang it up. It's over. That kind of a thing. And God comes to us and says, I've got you. I've got you. You can trust. And Elijah still doesn't get it. Now here's Elijah's pain. You guys ready? Elijah's pain is, our ways are not God's ways. I know how you need to act, Lord. I know what you need to do in this situation. How many times do we pray that? Oh, Lord, if you just make this work. I think it works better if you cross your fingers and put them behind you. Oh, Lord, do this. Like he's some giant sugar daddy up there that wants to give us stuff. Instead of that alignment prayer, Lord, I'm in your hands. I'm in your hands. What do you want me to do? I'm compliant. I'm obedient. I love you. Like Jesus said, if you love me, do my commandments. Tell me what to do. Instead of, I've got some directions I need to give you, Lord. Why didn't Elijah say that? Oh, Lord, if he'd wipe out the bad guys, he was so far gone, he said, I'm the only one, I'm ready to die. That's his pain. But God's plan, trust God. Not what we think of God. What do you think of that? Trust God, not what we think of God. What did that mean for Elijah? I know God in one way. The earthquake, the shaking, oh, the wind, oh, the fire, woo! And God says, I am everywhere. Even the little voice, even the little whisper. I can move however I want to move. Do you trust me? Or do you trust what you think I am? Uh-oh. We just crossed over into some really deep theology, didn't we? Do you read the scriptures to find some cool idea of what God is? Or do you read the scriptures to be a friend of God, to know him, to trust him as your Savior? Do you want to know about him? Or do you want to know him? When I met my wife, I didn't know anything about her. I could have called friends up, asked all sorts of questions, found everything about Becca. But I wanted to know Becca. Not about her. I wanted to know her. Now, how do you read the scriptures? How do you relate to God? Is it as that big, giant guy up there? Or is it as my friend who's with me now? When you see temptation coming at you, do you say, oh, Lord, take care of that? Instead, Lord, are you here with me? I know you are. I know you're with me. I trust you. Come on now. I'm with you. Wow, what a difference. He's saying, know me. Don't know about me. Final question. What are you doing next? What are you doing next? Aren't you glad it didn't end with that last one? What are you doing here? Well, I'm the only guy. I don't know what to do. They said, what are you doing next? Look at verse 15. Then the Lord said to him, go and return by the way you came to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you are to anoint Hazael as king over Aram. You are to anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, son of Shaphat, as prophet in your place. What did he just say? Let me explain. Here we go. You guys ready? Lord, I'm the only guy. Please kill me. I'm done. You have no idea how bad it is. The very next phrase, Elijah, I've got everything worked out. Here's the plan. You go do this, you go do this, you go do that. Oh. You had this all worked out all along? Yeah. Yep. What are you waiting for? For me to turn to you and say, yes, I'll trust you? You guys get this? Whatever predicament that you're in, whatever question you have, you personally, us as a church, shoot, us as a nation, God is sitting there going, I got the plan worked out. I got the plan worked out. Will you turn to me and say yes? That's what he's asking for. Let's read on. Verse 17. Jehu will put to death whoever escapes the sword from Hazael, and Elisha will put to death whoever escapes the sword of Jehu. But I will leave 7,000 in Israel, every knee that is not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Elijah left there and found Elisha. 12 teams of oxen were in front of him, and he was in the 12th team. Elijah walked by him and threw his mantle over him. What are you doing next? There's only one answer. Good answer to that question. I'm trusting your plan. I'm trusting your plan. Before, I thought I knew how you'd work. I've seen you work before. I thought you'd do it again. But now I understand you're going to do something different. And God says, here's the plan. Do this, do that, do the third thing. This is what I want you to do. And he went and did it. You know what's neat about this? Elijah. When you picture Elijah, what do you guys see? Gray hair, maybe. Maybe he's in one of those prophet things with the rope belt and the thing. Yeah. You guys with me? Yeah. You see that guy? The sandals and all this kind of stuff? Who does he anoint to take his place? A farmer. Not just any farmer. Running 12 teams of oxen. He's behind the last. What does Elisha look like? Not like Elijah. Elisha looks like a farmer. Do you see all the dirt on his hands? You see the muscles, the sinew, the sweat? He's got nothing to do with Elijah. He hasn't been to seminary. He hasn't been a learned man. He is a farmer. Nothing against preachers, nothing against farmers. I'm just saying they are worlds apart. And when Elijah saw Elisha, he didn't say, this goes against my plan, Lord. I had someone in waiting that I was going to have. Lord, he doesn't look anything like me. Do you want me to train him a little bit? Oh, Lord, we've never done it like this before. No. He takes his mantle, this beautiful symbol of the prophet of God, and lays it over this dirty farmer, sweating, Carhartts on. And lays it over and says, you're the one. You are the one. Oh, don't you love it? What does this say? God's ways, we don't know them. Oh, we think we do, but we don't. Here's the pain. This isn't Elijah's plan. And his pain is sometimes we're scared to do what God commands us to do next. Sometimes we're scared to death. What are you going to do next? Trust them. Go do it. Trust them. Go do it. Why don't we do that? Because it's not our plan. When God tells us to do something and we get scared, we take a couple steps back and we say, well, we'll pray about it, which means we're not going to pray about it at all. We're going to let it go through and we're just not going to act on it. God demands action when he gives us the plan. So when he said, go do these things, Elijah said, yes, sir. By the way, what was he like just a few minutes before? Worn out, tired, I'm ready to die. And now, boom, phew, go do this thing. Here's God's plan. God is never, ever taken by surprise. Never. God knew that we would have issues with our furniture several thousand years ago. Not our furniture being several thousand years old, but today. He knows what's going to happen. He is never taken by surprise. We had a dear godly saint taken from us this week here in the church. And while we grieve for her, we also know God's appointed the number of days for her on this earth. This is good. This is good. This is the time that God had. Y'all with me? Now, if I'm living my life like Elijah the first, oh Lord, I'm the only one that's working for you. You hear that? Come and do this great, mighty stuff like you did before, and it'll be okay. If I work like that, I'm going to be so dissatisfied. But if I can trust Him and answer those questions, what are you doing next? I'm going to follow your plan. I'm going to follow your plan. It's a pretty cool sermon, isn't it?
Yes.
I love those questions. Ask, what are you doing now? What are you doing new? What are you doing here? I love when he asks me that twice, and he still doesn't get it right. Then what are you doing next? One final thing. What are you doing next? That question and answer came at the very height, of Elijah's despair. When God says, where was it, verse 11, 12, whatever. When God says, what are you doing here? And he says, I'm the only one. Says it twice. Then God says, don't despair. Here's the new plan. Let's get up and go. Love you guys. I hope that you know that the messages, the sermons that I give you every week, we're having to live them every single week in the Bivens household, okay? In the Bivens house, every day this week, we're asking those questions. And we're struggling with, Lord, why didn't you do this? This would make sense to me. And we're struggling with that, saying, Lord, you're in charge. You're in charge. You know more things about it than we do. We'll relax. We'll trust you. Now, what do you want us to do? We're eager to do it. Just we'll relax. Amen? Father, thanks so much for your message. Thank you for the story of Elijah and in the coming weeks about Elisha. Oh, two great men of God. Father, who followed you, even when they didn't know the outcome, even when they weren't quite sure what to do, they knew to follow you and that you would fill in those blanks. You'd give them the next step. So Lord, we ask that of you this morning. And we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name.